To Kill a Ghost, a Kinder Transport story in three acts. Introduction. It's 1938. You're a teenager living in Vienna, and in March of that year, German troops sweep across the border. Your country vanishes almost overnight and becomes part of the Third Reich. Every Jewish family is suddenly in panic. They know how Jews have been treated in Germany. Now it's their turn. Your parents want to get your entire family out. And some 110,000 Jews in Austria did manage to flee by the time the gate slammed shut, but not before they were officially and legally robbed of almost everything they owned. It was worse for the 65,000 Jews who did not escape. They were going to be deported and murdered. In this documentary podcast, we're going to explore the stories of just two teenagers from here in Vienna. Around 2,300 Jewish children were taken by their parents to train stations like this one. I'm in the Westbahnhof right now. And they were sent away to England. Another 7,800 Jewish kids from Germany, from the Czech lands, of Bohemia, Moravia, and a few from Poland also were sent to safety. Many of their parents could not get away, and they were doomed. My name is Edward Serrata, the director of Centropa. And now we're walking through Vienna's second district, and this is the address that I've been looking for. It's Springergasse number 15. It's a handsomely restored five-story apartment house. And here's where 15-year-old Paul, we're not using family names here, typed out a letter which the Vienna Jewish Community's archive sent to me. Chapter 1.
To the Jewish Community, London. I, the undersign, which a Jude is, and now went from school, has in Austria no chance to become employment. He beg the praiseworthy Jewish Community, London, for assistance. I am 15 years old, and I know English and can typewrite, and I learn 2 years Esperanto. Perhaps is the Jewish Community in the situation to give me an appointment in England? I take any work which the Jewish Community give me. Perhaps it would be possible to find a Yiddish family which are able to take me to them. I have good certificates, and I hope that the Jewish Community can find for me an appointment in England. Yours faithfully, name redacted, sent from Vienna, 2nd District, Springergasse 15.
Once I had that letter, I just had to know. Did he get out? So I contacted the Vienna Jewish Community, its archive, and I asked them, please give me his name. And I'm happy to say they did, as long as I didn't use his family name in this podcast. The Central British Fund in London is now called World Jewish Relief, and this is the organization that has files on thousands of the Kinder Transport refugees. I emailed them and asked, could it be possible that they have this boy's file? I asked Debbie Cantor, who volunteers in the World Jewish Relief Archive, and I told her the name of the young man, his first name, Paul. And just a few hours later, I heard from Debbie. Yes, they have his file. Debbie sent it to me, and I read through cards, some reports, and a few letters. Some were typed, others were written by hand. I was looking at scans of faded old documents. The first entry was from August 1938, and it had been written in English from here in Vienna. It was on a form from the Save the Children Fund Inter-Aid Committee for Children from Germany and Austria. It must have been an interview conducted by someone sent from London to meet with children's families who were looking to escape. and written in hand, I found this.
Boy speaks English and Esperanto quite well. He can type and do the special craft of shoemaking of his father. Father cannot get work in Vienna. Family dependent on soup kitchen, where they can go once a day. Parents threaten to commit suicide if boy cannot be saved.
Then in a typewritten letter dated September 2nd, 1938, I found this.
Save the Children Fund, Inter-Aid Committee for Children from Germany and Austria. We are delighted to announce that your son Paul has been accepted as a pupil at the Wilderness College, Ashburton, South Devon. Today we apply to the Home Office for a visa for him, and as soon as we receive the relevant decision, we will come to an agreement with you again, Miss Davidor.
It took a few weeks, but we now know that in mid-November 1938, Paul's parents, Moritz and Franziska, took their only child to the train station and watched Paul leave. His life, at least, was going to be spared. Then Moritz and Franziska went home and desperately looked for ways to get out of Vienna, out of the Third Reich.
23rd of November 1938. He has arrived, a nice, sturdy boy enrolled in Ashburton College.
We know that Paul was taken in by a German-Jewish family who lived near the Belsize Square Synagogue in North London, and for the rest of his life, Paul stayed in close contact with their son, Hans. They even attended Ashburton together. But what was it like for this teenager, an only child, to be in England with his parents so far away and living under the Nazis, all while he's just starting to learn English? In the files, Miss Davigdor appears again and sends this typewritten letter she posted on the 15th of January, 1939.
Dear Paul, I've just received your two letters of January the 12th, 1939. I have now passed on an application to the Domestic Bureau for your parents, and I will add another letter telling them what your father can do. Please do not be so unhappy, as I feel hopeful that we may find something, but it will take a few weeks. I would also like to ask you not to lose heart, but remember that your poor mamma could not endure all her suffering if you were to despair now. You know that the English have such a good saying, the worst never happens. Write me again soon, but please, Paul, just a bit happier. Davidor.
Paul continued to study in Ashburton College. In September of 1939, Nazi Germany invaded Poland from the west. The Soviet Union invaded Poland from the east. The Second World War had begun, and in May 1940, German troops swept through the Netherlands, Belgium, and France. Here's a note in Paul's file.
7th of June, 1940. Paul has been interned as an enemy alien sent by ship to Australia.
This was not unusual. After the British Army's evacuation from Dunkirk and the fall of France in June of 1940, tens of thousands of German citizens in the UK over the age of 16, even Jews who had fled from Germany and Austria, were interned. Some were imprisoned on the Isle of Man. Some were sent to Canada. Paul was sent all the way to Australia on the Dunera, a ship infamous for its appalling conditions. He was at sea for 2 months. In Australia, Paul was interned in a camp reserved for Jewish youth and young men. And in his World Jewish Relief file, we find this letter.
Camp Office, Number 7 Camp, Eastern Command, May the 4th, 1941. Dear Paul, this goes to express the most sincere gratitude of the camp for the splendid work you did whilst in our community. Under often adverse conditions, you contributed unselfishly and in the best sense of comradeship to ease the lot of your fellow internees. We do hope that in the future you will have a better and well-deserved chance to apply your knowledge and skill to your own advantage. With best wishes, yours sincerely, A. Eppenstein, Camp Spokesman.
A year later, Paul was allowed to return to England on the SS Stirling Castle, and because he was under the age of 18, he was allowed to go back to school. As for Paul's parents, Moritz and Francisca, still no word.
November 11th, 1941, returned from internment. We sent Miss Smith to speak with Paul. Lives with his aunt. She reports he is a very nice boy. Lives in a small room, but is comfortable and where he studies. Paul wishes to become a tailor. 17th of December 1943, Paul informed us he wishes to join the army in January. 28th of April 1944, Paul has stopped in to visit us on leave, is looking extremely well and is enjoying army life.
May 8th, 1945, the end of the war in Europe. People were celebrating everywhere. But Paul continued to write letters and was filling out forms, desperate to find out what happened to his parents. From Wolf Erich Eckstein, an archivist in the Vienna Jewish community, we have this.
I found this for you. On 27th October 1939, Paul's father, Moritz, was deported to Nisko in German-occupied Poland. That is where he was murdered. As for his mother, Franziska, it seems she was forced to live in a crowded collective apartment with other Jews here in Vienna. On the 27th of April, 1942, Franziska was one of 1,000 Viennese Jews summoned for a transport to Wlodawa. This is a small town in German-occupied Poland. Almost all of those went to Wlodawa were deported to the death camp of Sobibor. Three people survived. Franziska was not one of them.
Paul would have received official notice while he was serving in the British Army in Kenya, in East Africa. We know that he returned to London in May 1947, and with no one waiting for him in Vienna, we found just one more entry in his file.
27th of May, 1947. British by naturalization.
In other words, Paul, now 23 years old, has become a British citizen. He has started his new life, and he no longer needed help from World Jewish Relief. And so I thought, the story came to an end, as I could find no more documents. That's when I turned to the author Rosie Whitehouse, who has written much on Jewish refugees in England, and Rosie turned up something else from the Wiener Library in London. I found myself looking at a picture of a smiling young man in a top hat and tails, and a beaming young bride in a gorgeous white dress just next to him, their arms hooked together. This story was going to have another chapter.